Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I've just got one more mouthful to go.
Yeah, just set the microwave. This is good.
No.
Hello and welcome along to Overlooked and Undercooked, a podcast in which we analyse Rob Schneider's effort to challenge the traditional TV show business model by self-producing, writing, directing and starring in his semi-autobiographical series, Real Rob. I'm Guy Montgomery.
I'm Tim Batt, and I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome our guest for this episode, world-famous Australian comedian Becky Lucas.
Hello guys, sorry, I've just seen something. Is this on Netflix?
Yeah.
Did you not know that?
Oh, I thought you just had found it on the internet, like on a website.
Well, we did. We found it on the very prominent streaming website, Netflix.
All right. Very funny. But
also
are
true,
you serious?
Though. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So they bought it?
Well, a good question.
Okay.
So Rob, what we do know is that he produced this himself, so we think he self-funded it. I personally have a theory.
We know he self-funded it.
He donated it.
I think
it.
He paid money to Netflix to put it on rather than the usual course of events where they buy it.
I think he sold it for less than what it cost him to make to Netflix, just so that someone would see it.
So in that way he is challenging the traditional TV.
He has really he's a real disruptor.
They're like, yeah, sure, yeah.
Come on and throw your money around. So the episode we just saw is called Gaying in Shape. It's the fifth episode of the first season. What did you think? Have you seen any Real Rob before?
No, I haven't tuned in.
How do you like it?
It's so fucking bad, but it's refreshing, I guess. It's really, really crazy because I guess these famous people just get indulged. Like, he's just indulged.
He's not, but he's, as far as the Hollywood system goes, he's certainly, you know, he's getting fed, but he's pretty malnourished. Like,
yeah, I know he's not a huge famous guy, but it's like, you know, everyone knows someone on the cusp of mental illness, especially in comedy.
Yeah.
And it's like all it would take is for them to just get a bit too much money and power and just lose their
and
minds.
They'd wear it out in public in a
big
way.
Do you think that's what we're seeing, Becky?
Yeah, I think he just was like a nutcase who got, you know, lucky early on. He had a couple things happen for him, and now he's lost his mind. This is crazy.
I should have told you at the start, but what I quite enjoy is for our guest to give us like a plot synopsis of the episode. So can you just by memory, and I'll remind everyone that we have literally just watched the thing. Can you tell us what happens? Because I can't remember.
I was eating a nourishing bowl.
Yeah, it looked good.
It was good. So he was, his wife implied that he was unattractive to gay people, and he was like, nah, I'm not. So he went to the gym, but also he's got a child whose birthday was coming up. So
that's called a B-plot, right?
Yeah, so alongside him trying to get rammed by a dude, he's trying to keep his child healthy. Needed to have a healthy birthday party.
The only way Rob Schneider knows how. GMO-free.
GMO-free. And there was also a bear that he wanted to get to perform. And then the bear was played by... So, I mean...
Do you know what?
I don't know what happened.
You might have scrubbed it up pretty well, but that is the most, that is the closest thing this show's had to an episode with some sort of plot that actually follows through. All three of those threads are pursued through the entirety of the episode.
Yeah.
Like
they're pursued.
We get to see him
not to completion. But they're pursued.
I liked it when they all converged. Like I liked it when
there's a unique device.
With the TV show is it's like a donkey with a spinning wheel.
What's a donkey with a spinning wheel?
Exactly.
Yeah. It was very amusing because in previous episodes, his obsession has been with the idea that anyone would think he's impotent.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole episode that where his entire insecurity is the idea that anyone would think he can't get an erection. And it's funny to see these insecurities laid bare. And another one, you get to see it with his fame. And this one, it's that he's like his obsession is the idea that he would be unattractive to gay people.
Why? Like,
because it's a funny narrative. It's funny.
Don't you get comedy, Becky Lucas? This is what's funny. The people want it.
Yeah.
The people want rampant homophobia for 32 minutes in 2015.
Well, that's the thing. It's almost like he's trying to be like, I'm woke because, like, you know, I would have sex with a gay person. Then he later goes on to be like, claustrophobia is the gayest of the phobias.
Literally a quote from Rob in the show.
I don't think there's any effort. There's no awareness in Rob Schneider's world of the concept of wokeness.
In New Zealand, if you were 14 years old and you said that at school, your mate would fucking bowl you up about it.
Really?
Absolutely. Yeah.
You could get away with
14.
We don't know.
You're rewriting history. Like, yeah, we were all very woke at 14.
My words. If you're in a high school, starting off in a high school in New Zealand at the moment, and you said something was the gayest fear, you'd get fucking hauled over the coals for that.
I'd like to think so. You speak highly of our high school system, but if I remember high school, which I'm fairly certain I do.
You went to an all boys school.
Someone's being called gay at all times.
To be fair, I went to a pretty progressive school.
Yeah.
So you're right. Like, that is kind of the plot. There's a fucking teddy bear in a kid's party and Rob's rampant homophobia.
At one point, is it the nanny who's a guy?
He's a dancer. So his wife, this isn't explained in this episode, but she's setting up
one of the overarching narratives of the season.
Yeah.
Someone was like, she needs something, Rob.
Yeah.
She can't just be there to facilitate your wacky adventures.
Well, that's what her job is, to facilitate his wacky adventures. So she's hired, because this is from which the entire storyline's birthed. She's assembling a male variety or dancing
review show. Like a strip club for the ladies.
Yeah.
And so she's assembled all these beautiful muscular men who sort of, they all get together at Rob's house. And that sort of is a vehicle for him to be like,
why there's so many cocks in my house all the time?
Yeah,
this is
right,
stuff
and
right,
one
right.
of them gets hired as a live-in nanny, and Rob's obsessed, which is who you saw. He's obsessed with the idea that he's gay, even though he loudly and insistently repeats the fact that he is not.
Okay, but it's funny to always question him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yes.
You can tell by the way we're laughing and smiling as we remember.
I'm smirking.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't hear it, but I'm smirking.
Did you have any moments in the ep that like got a real rise out of you? Got an actual laugh?
I reckon when he asked when. The nanny's holding his child, and he said, "What did he say? You something about sucking dick?" He said, "I could get my dick sucked."
Yeah.
So that's
I've written one of them down. I think it's
shock comic. You love the shock value of it.
But it's like there are people that play classical music to their baby when they're in the tummy to give them like you know the best start in life, and your kid is two.
On
and
set.
You're talking about sucking dicks,
to Rob, yeah.
getting a dick sucked.
The lead in line for that was, what if I just grabbed your dick? So this is when he's wrestling with the idea that he's unattractive to gay men. He says, to his straight nanny, he says, what if I just grabbed your dick? Would you make me stop? You wouldn't suck my dick.
That's wild. That's a wild thing to say and such a crazy thing to put in a show.
I know.
And then to put the show out there for all of us to see.
He mustn't have had anyone script editing.
Absolutely not.
His wife and his assistant and friend, Jamie, they all did it together. They're all co-conspirators.
Fuck, just a fucking bunch of...
It's nuts.
I'm not going to say the word, but let's just say they wouldn't say that word.
Cunts?
At Tim Batts' high school.
Was it the C word?
No.
Oh.
Did they use that at your high school?
What, cunts?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm from New Zealand, mate. Of course. But it has way less gravity, you know, in our Australasian neck of the woods than it does stateside.
Yeah.
God, it lands like a lead balloon there, I tell you what.
It really pummels into people's ears. I would like to say this episode provided me with the heartiest laugh that I have genuinely had at the show, which was the accidental pedophile sort of riff initially, and then that entire plot thread, I thought...
Talk us through that a little.
Well, Rob and his assistant Jamie are shopping for party goods, and they're sort of asking a lot of questions that aren't becoming of two adults shopping at a party store. They're saying, what sort of candy can't kids stop eating? Where do you keep your duct tape and your garbage bags? And I was laughing along even then, and I realized afterwards that it was because it is the first sort of time that they have executed any sort of joke structure that they are attempting to... Like, it was the first time that all the jigsaw pieces fit together. It was a pretty shitty jigsaw, but you're like, yeah, we did it.
They would have been so happy after that.
Yeah.
And then they solving the children's word jumble at the restaurant. Yeah. And
then they keep coming at you. Like, by the time Jamie, the beer that they hire, they were going to get a regular one for like $1,500 for an hour, the most famous popular kids.
$15,000 a day is the beer. That's the beer that you got to get.
And then they found an alternative website.
Holy fuck, the webpage which they display prominently on screen is not anything that exists in the digital realm. It is a fucking tiny little photo of this knockoff beer and just the words $80 a day in Comic Sans. It's like there's... It's not even a fucking browser. It's just this picture with a word. It's so crazy.
And of course they hire this beer, which is a... You know... I mean, Becky, you're a pretty, you know comedy.
I'm very astute.
Yeah, and so you would have seen an opportunity for comedy from a mile off.
Yep. Who's going to play the bear?
Who did play the bear?
Jamie.
That's right, the assistant. The bear arrived drunk.
Yep.
And then Jamie, in another part that made me laugh, Jamie was revealed to have claustrophobia, which Rob Schneider calls the gayest of all the phobias. Then Rob Schneider somehow convinces him to do it.
Kicking him in the lower back.
Yeah, and he kicks his
the
assistant.
The weakest part of the body. Part of the back.
So true. You can so like paralyze someone.
He kicks him down a flight of stairs.
He really does. This is while he's having a panic attack. And this is a man who on the episode has confessed to be Rob's best friend.
And he rolls down the entire flight of stairs and lands in front of the kids, who are all laughing and applauding, because this is obviously the entertainment. This is like, this is what the $15,000 Goliath trained clown bear actually does, is huge physical gags. Anyway, he gets severely concussed and is driving home, and he gets pulled over by the police. He's driving home in the alcoholic bear's car, which reeks of booze and vomit. He gets pulled over, and the cop's like, "Have you been drinking?" He goes, "No, sir," but he's heavily concussed. Best performance by Jamie in the whole season as well.
Yeah, that's because he's playing someone who's mentally deficient in the scene.
And anyway, the cop shines a torch and he goes, candy, like empty candy bags, and he shines it and he goes, duct tape, garbage bags.
And that's what we call a callback.
Yes, exactly. Yes. That is
very
what we call
good.
A
callback.
They pulled that one off.
Yeah.
Biggie, I don't know if you enjoy that one as much as Guy and I, because we've seen so many jokes that don't even work, like, they don't even get to the finish line of a punchline.
Yeah.
But this was real
stuff.
Yeah,
steal. I was going to say, not a bad show. Yeah. Pretty good app.
Hey, what? Give this a rating. Give this your IMDb Becky score.
Oh, like zero. You can't. It's not a TV show.
Hold on. Out of five, though.
Out of five.
Still zero.
Yeah, zero. But it's not a show. It's like a... It's a recorded breakdown, I guess.
Can I parrot back a quote that you said during the show after a particularly mean-spirited bit of Rob Schneider comedy?
Sure.
Which was, it's almost okay that he does this shit because he's so tiny.
Oh, yeah, he's so small. It's like, you know how people don't train their little dogs because they're like, well, they're so little. It's like if you have a German Shepherd, you have to train it because
it'll kill someone.
But he's so small that it's like, yeah, sure, make you a little...
This tiny little man will never have a platform. But yeah.
You
keep giving him money in movie deals and TV.
You said that, and then the next line that Rob Schneider said was inside of a sauna with two other men at a gym, and he says, there's crazy pussy up.
That was a genuine laugh from me because I so didn't see it coming. He's trying to, like, sniff out where the gay guys are in the gym so that he can try and get them to hit on him so he can allay his own insecurities. And, yeah, so he walks into the steam room where two guys are just chilling out, having a sit. And he goes, oh, crazy pussy. And that's the first time the word pussy's appeared. It's just like, Jesus Christ, Rob.
Fuck.
What is your sacred cow on this? You've made fun of disabled people, the Chinese,
Mexicans.
Now gay guys, phobia. Just
I think the funny thing is people think he's Mexican. He's not.
Yeah, no. I kind of thought he was.
Everyone kind of thinks he can get away. It's like, well, no,
he's Filipino, apparently.
Is he?
He's got like, maternal grandmother is Filipino. But this, I think the spirit and tone of this show is like if your uncle with the worst sense of humor out of all your uncles got to make a comedy show on TV.
Yes.
But
like all the shit that.
That's exactly right.
That they find funny is just laid out.
If you've got a big enough family, and you're the sort of family that gets together over Christmas, there's always the bad uncle there. But Rob Schneider's even like a pretty bad version of that.
Yeah.
For most families.
He's caught fire at a few Christmases, though. He caught fire at a few Christmases, though. And so you forgive it a little bit.
Everyone had a few wines. They're like, oh, let the real go a little bit on this.
I've got so many of those.
Still reliving Christmas of 2007.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
You've got so many Christmases.
I've just got very bad uncles. Like,
oh,
I've
really?
Got come from bad stock.
Oh, true.
I do. I do come from bad stock. I have an uncle. He's so annoying that he's tried to buy three women from third world countries.
Jesus.
To come over and be his wife, and all three of them have chosen to go back.
God damn, Becky.
Yeah, I'm serious.
Oh my
it's crazy.
Gosh. He's not a very astute businessman then.
No, the last one went back after a military coup.
We've returned to a military coup. Yeah.
Rather than stay with your uncle in Australia.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God.
He's the worst. He's the worst.
Yeah, he certainly doesn't sound great. another thing that they did in this episode, like, which was returning to a narrative device they've used previously, they go back to the comedy club or soundstage where he records comedy.
Why not?
Cam James called the smile and nod. this is something they haven't done before, but he says a joke that he sort of addressed in a scene between him and his wife at the start of the show.
He's played out, the concept of the joke.
Which
the
is
premise.
Like, it's the first time they've used the stand-up performances for that express purpose of directly tying.
But he did it in the wrong fucking order. Because you're supposed to do that. Like, if you're Seinfeld, you open the episode by briefly doing a broad stroke joke about some subject matter that you drill into with specificity in the scenes. But he did the fucking scene and, like, ended the episode on the broader gag about it. I was like, what are you doing, you maniac?
I love imagining him watching Seinfeld and be like, I'm going to flip it.
Born Disruptor, our Rob Schneider.
Oh my God.
Is what happens when he gets out of that long shadow of Adam Sandler and he is able to fly.
Totally. Yeah, Adam was the one keeping him just there. Like,
well,
like,
who saw that coming, eh?
Yeah, Adam was shushing him.
Fuck.
Some people need a shusher.
Best consumed in very small doses.
Mm.
It's difficult when he's the leading man.
Big, have you ever seen anything like this?
I mean, I guess, you know, the obvious, like the Room or whatever is the most...
Would you liken this to...
Yeah, I mean, it's just someone being able to do whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah.
Do you think this is...
I don't know. I mean, yeah, it's different, but how often do people get to make something where it's just
their
them?
Vision, like, entirely.
Usually it has to get through a few barricades.
Sure.
Yeah.
When you're the writer, director, producer, star...
The pendulum swings both ways, though, isn't it? Because there's, you know, you don't have to clear a lot of hurdles, but there's not a lot of people to tell you if something's going wrong.
There
and
no
then by the time you know, it's too late.
It's tyrannical television making, is what it
is. Exactly. And the fact that no one felt safe to tell him is an indicator of how psycho he must be.
Yeah.
He must be an incredibly difficult person to speak to or give feedback to.
What do you think of his wife, Patricia, who's in the show prominently?
I reckon she's like, her tits are the best thing about this show.
You're on board for that. She's
I can't believe she's with him.
Well, she said this episode or the last one, he said that she's 29. And because this is kind of like an autobiographical show, I imagine that's probably true because it would be a weird line
to
lie about.
He's 50 in the show.
God.
Just 50?
Yeah, she keeps talking about how he's 50.
So 20 years between them. Because I find her to be kind of delightful, but I think it's because she's always appearing alongside Rob, and she's very beautiful.
Well, yeah, she's
blinded.
Got glowing... She's 29.
She's always smiling as well, which I like. In the bits where Rob's smiling, I hate him less.
Yeah, he has
like
got
a smiley
beautiful
performer.
Blue eyes.
No, that's the colour saturation.
The entire colour grade has been reverse engineered to make Rob's eyes as blue as possible, and every other grade suffers for it.
Norm MacDonald appeared a couple of weeks ago, and he looked...
Why?
Because he's got naturally quite lovely baby blues, and he looked fucking bizarre.
He was
Jesus,
he looked CGI.
He
was twinkling.
Yeah, no, she's quite sweet, but like him and her in a writing room, fuck.
Are we punching up?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it's hard to know what his mental situation's like.
How genuine is your concern for his... Well, not concern, but curiosity, wondering about his state of mind?
I mean, I don't give a fuck at all.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he's clearly very sad, and I guess the more you do stuff in showbiz, you know, which you guys are a part of, the more you realise that the people aren't untouchable and, like... you know, figures that are above us or whatever. Like, he's still a person, and he's just weirdly had access. Like, you know when someone becomes famous, they still have all the same shit. It's just worse. Like, he must have a terrible mental state.
Are you worried about him?
No, I don't worry about him. But I just think, like, on a Wednesday night, what's he doing?
What is he doing, Vicky?
I don't know. Like, I just reckon he'd have, like, 4 beers and be... psychotically scrolling on his phone.
He does four beers and he does stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
He just self-tapes stand-up comedy to no one to put on his self-funded and self-made TV
man.
Show.
Or he's one of those dudes, like those older guys in comedy who starts supporting everyone. Oof. You know, like he's always like quote tweeting shit and like writing on everyone. You know when you see like people who has been always writing on up-and-comers' Instagrams? Like, haha, love this.
That's good.
He'd do heaps of love this on...
Well, I've been commenting quite a lot on your Instagrams lately, so it's interesting you'd bring that up in that particular context. But
your star's on the wane, I'm afraid,
I
Montgomery.
I think I'm older than you.
Nah.
Mm.
What? Really? Vicky, how old are you?
I'm turning 29 this year.
Oh, true.
Yeah.
I thought you were 26 for some
That's
reason.
So nice. Thank you.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a good
we'll go
age. How old are you?
I am 29.
Oh, okay.
Beat you.
So, Becky, okay. So, because I actually thought you were a couple years younger than us, but you're not. But
Nero.
Were you a fan of Rob Schneider's previous career?
I mean, weren't we all?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah.
I think that's true.
And we were wrong to be.
Well, but, were we though? I don't know.
After seeing this, I have no desire to revisit what those films were.
I recently watched Deuce Bigelow, Male Gigolo.
First one, second one?
First one.
And?
Terrible.
Is it?
Yeah, really bad.
Because I remember, like, I laughed at that when I, you know, I was 12 or something. It was funny.
I thought he was the best.
One of the big laugh lines that would get, like, the catchphrase that would get thrown around the playground was always, "That's huge, bitch!"
Yeah, in retrospect, that's not enough to carry.
If that's your cherry pick from the movie.
Totally. And that's something you will still hear people you went to school with say.
So, in the last episode where he was obsessed with the idea of his... It was about his fame. It was called VIP Treatment. It was pretty much an opportunity for him to run into people who recognized him and they could repeat his filmography back to him. But he wrote that one of the police officers that recognized him would quote back to him, like, fondly and fawningly, "That's a huge bitch."
Dude, he said it as well at the book signing episode where there was a woman who was, like, probably normal height because he's apparently about 4'10 or something.
Yeah, right.
And she wanted to get a selfie with him. So she put her arm around him.
Yeah.
And then he, like, was grossed out and backed away. And then he looked on his shoulder and he said, "Ooh, white deodorant stain." And then he looked on the other one and went, "Ooh, it's on the other one too. Beat. That's a huge bitch."
Oh.
It's like, "Oh, that's sad."
I like imagining him having to ask Adam Sandler if he could use it.
He's like, "Sure, Robbie. You can.
He's
like, "Hey, man, I know that's your property and all, but..."
I reckon Sandler's got points on that episode as well.
And then Adam Sandler just calls up all of the other Happy Madison goons and goes, "You're not going to believe what Schneider just asked me for."
He taped it.
In the group chat.
Yeah. Fuck.
Oh,
that is
God.
Absolutely brutal.
Fuck. Mm. This show, I said this while we were watching it, every time I think we've hit rock bottom, because last episode was wild, and it's like each episode is wild in a different way.
Yeah.
The last episode that we watched with Rose has so many technical errors in it.
Well, this
and
one...
they're very big.
Yeah.
That it kind of blew my mind. Did you see some shit?
Well, there was just like a camera that went and like zoomed in.
Which means something in visual language. Yeah. It's like, "Hey, gravitas," or like, "Pay attention to this thing." But it was like an accident. Someone slipped the zoom dial.
Yeah, someone just zoomed in.
A thousand monkeys
and...
working on a thousand typewriters.
But then this episode, so I thought we'd kind of reached the crippling low of where the show would go. But then this episode was just so fucking crazy, like, offensive and weird and just flailing around for stuff.
I stand behind this as the greatest episode of the run.
That's
so
just because of the pedophilia joke, which you're a big fan of.
Yeah, but it's not the contents specific to the joke. It shows that he might be learning, like, that,
right.
That they've actually thought of, written out a story beat which follows an entire joke, and at each point they got a laugh.
It only took 35 years of a comedy career and 5 episodes of a sitcom, but he's done it.
Man. Rob Schneider. Becky, what would you say to Rob if you could talk to him?
If I could speak to Rob, what would I say? "Can I get a photo?" It'd go off.
Yeah,
that's a guaranteed 300 plus likes.
Yeah, that would be huge.
Becky,
sure.
You are part of the problem. Name the problem, you're a part of it.
Yep.
It's so good. God, I can get 400 likes for...
Yeah, I reckon. Possibly even 500.
Do you think he'll hear this podcast?
I hope so. You know, I really can't get my mind around, because for some reason when you said it, I honestly thought that you had just found these episodes, like he'd made them available online, but I cannot believe it's on Netflix.
Do you think Netflix should be held accountable?
I think, yeah, like, shouldn't there be a standard or...
There should be something.
Yeah.
Right? Someone should be making calls on this.
It's really an offensive show.
Truly.
And I don't mind offensive if it's funny.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's like, it's offensive in all senses.
It's kind of like... Blazing Saddles would have jokes on par with this, but that was made 50 years ago.
Yeah, but it's like, it's offensive, like the content, but also the way it's made. Like, if you're a gay film student, oh my God.
Yeah.
it would offend everything that you're about.
Your entire sensibility would be undermined by this attempt.
Before we wrap up, is there anything else that you'd just like to, like, get on the record about your opinion of what you just saw? This fifth episode of Real Rob.
Gaying in Shape.
Gaying in Shape. That is that what
name.
It's called?
Yeah. That was the title.
It's a pun.
I mean, yeah, I just want everyone to know that I hated it. And I hate it.
Use the word staying in shape.
Staying in shape, but he's gone gaying in shape. It's funny. It is funny. It's clever. It's what I liked just quickly is it's just everyone, it just had no, like, it was just him being like, "I'm going to work out." And everyone's like, "You're going to work out? you'll never work out. He's like, I can work out. Someone's like, oh, you're not going to work out. He's like, I can work out. It just went for so long.
That was him creating like the tiniest straw men for him to like bet out of the way on
and
his
then you're
en
like, oh, shit, he's at the gym. I guess he's working out. I guess he's doing the thing no one thought
he
could do.
Also, one of the most jarring things about the episode is he presents the guy who works at the gym, presumably he's the operator of the gym, is
undeniably
he's probably got alopecia, like
because he doesn't have eyebrows or anything, and he's a big dude,
he's entirely bald, and it is so jarring to see Rob Schneider lob himself up some person who is different from him in any way and then choose to not specifically attack and berate this person for that quality. Like, it was honestly the whole time I was leaning further forward in my seat waiting for the big joke about, oh, by the way, you're bald,
you have no hair.
He's like, he's crisscrossing the map of like,
he's not only failed at everything, but in that particular one he failed to fail.
Failed to be you.
You're the worst, but at least you are Rob. And in this, and you failed to also be Rob.
That's right. Becky, you go.
The alopecia man I had a thought about him. Doesn't matter.
Whatever. He looked like the Sydney Roosters winger Craig Ferguson, who's recently gone off the grog.
Oh, right. Yeah, no, he was... what was I going to say about him? Oh, just that it seems like... it's diversity. They're like, we need a guy with alopecia. Like, it's just classic... wrong. It's just wrong.
Yeah.
Like,
I was. Do you know this show's got me in such a twist that I was genuinely upset when Rob didn't bully that person. I was
really?
Like, I was like, that's one of your big chances to get one of your jokes out in the show, man.
Yeah.
Gone.
Here it is. Here's a canvas for you to make fun of.
The joke was just that he stole cookies.
He got given.
Can
them,
I take these cookies?
And he goes, they're on the house, because he was so disgusted by his behavior. It was odd. I didn't like him in the gym. He took someone's headphone out when they were doing weights.
Yeah.
Nightmare.
It was like, it was the kind of stuff you'd see Larry David do in Curb, but like Larry David knows exactly what he's doing and would set up such a great edifice to sort of facilitate the need for him to pull that earphone out.
Totally.
And then would know what he has done. But Rob Schneider's just like, I'm in the gym, I'm touching everyone. And it's like, dude, can you fucking...
We're not on your side.
I am so stressed out by what you're doing and you... We'll never address it.
Yeah, he just has no comic sensibilities at all. Well, that's
got,
what I'll say.
He's got
just,
Schneider's rule of fives.
Yes.
Of course, if a joke doesn't work three times, try it two
Do
more.
Do it again, and then once again.
Yeah.
What you said about the pacing, though, I think is really astute, because it became very like crystal clear in this episode that he telegraphs every scene where you're going to be. And like, I can't even remember what it was, but he said something to kick off a scene in this. I was like, oh, great. Here we are for the next 6 minutes.
Yeah.
And it was. It's exactly as you say. The pattern is, here's exactly what's going to happen. Now let's talk about it for 4 minutes and then kind of bail out before we do it.
Yeah.
Can I say, beyond this episode, though, that, you know, talking about the wider series, that shows development, promise, learning.
You're lying.
I'm very excited.
You're lying to yourself.
It's like it's just like if you gave the dumbest kid at school whatever, like just be like, yeah, write a show. Yeah. That's what it is. It's like just some guy on the street be like, write a show.
Your uncle's son.
Yeah.
Cousin.
Yes.
Yeah, your cousin.
Yeah, my cousin.
Just really quickly, because I know we're going slightly over for this one, but I do want to bring up that I now theorize a different... I think maybe we're viewing the show wrong. I think there's an unreliable narrator vibe now, and that Rob and Becky, picking up on what you were saying, does have a... how do you say? Either diminished or vulnerable mental state.
Yeah.
And because everything is being told from his point of view, I don't think this is his life, and I think Patricia is his nurse. And like a psych ward or something.
Yeah,
and
Kara.
I think this is what he thinks is his life.
Fuck, that's
it's an
crazy.
Exciting prospect. We have 3 episodes left in the series.
Are you fucking serious? I thought the next one was the last.
6, 7, 8, baby.
God damn it.
Becky, is there anything we don't know when this is going to come out? Is there anything you'd like to say?
Plug. Plug your podcast.
Say or play. Plug, I mean.
Plug.
Say, you know.
You should come out with a plug. How funny would that be if there was a Becky Lucas plug and then they were like, any plugs? And you literally had
one. Yeah, heaps. $5 for a plug.
Yeah.
I should sell plugs.
I paid
merch.
Luke Heggie $5 for a bottle opener last night.
Oh, nice.
His merch.
That's same cool. thing in reverse.
Yeah, I don't know if I've got anything to plug. I mean,
where do we follow you, Becky? Where do we
Twitter,
find you?
Twitter, Instagram.
Becky Lucas.
Yeah, just, I guess, follow me. I don't know.
Nah, I'm okay, thanks.
Nah, do it. Do it.
Do it. It's all right. It's all right on there every now and then.
I'd like, well, yeah, you might have a photo with Rob Schneider coming up. I would like to end the episode with a quote from the episode spoken by the great Rob Schneider. This is perhaps his magnum opus thus far. I'm not gay, but I think my ego is transgender.
Bye, everyone.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.